But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It's 5 o'clock.
And I'm rarely late.
This is Wildcard Week with Isaac and Suk.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Nice to have you along. Good Friday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Suk. I'm Rob. I think Suk's right over there.
Dude.
At least I think.
I am right here.
I haven't heard from him in a while. There he is.
Right. Said, you guys watching the game while trying to do the news is hilarious.
I wasn't watching the game. I was reading about volcanic activity.
You were watching the game. It was, you're 4 seconds ahead of us.
Under the seat. No, I was reading about
the story. By the way, no one is happy about this situation with Rot being ahead. And I would like to point out, you son of a bitch, you have a responsibility to be more responsible. When you're 4 seconds ahead of us, you can't keep reacting to plays.
Well, no, that's why I am.
Because it panics the rest of us.
That's why I'm doing that.
No one likes it.
Well, I don't care. That's why I'm doing it. I'm trying to piss you off.
Not happy.
And it appears to be working.
It's working.
Yeah. Let's do that.
You're pissing off our Drew Aller or Will Howard. I forget what we settled on. Ryan.
Maybe
Buckley,
Darnold. We don't know.
Yeah. It's.
Well, look, it's not looking good for Texas. Okay. It's already 35-0 Ohio State.
Or 7-0.
Oh, wait. 7-0.
7-0.
But Quinn Ewers has been sacked multiple times and they just punt it again.
Yes. Twice they've gotten into Ohio State territory and have come away with bupkis. So it's not good.
Coming up, Joey Harrington will join us. He is a Mr. Quarterback player guy.
Yes, he did play Mr. Quarterback.
Yeah. So I would like to ask him, what on earth was happening with Drew Aller last night? And coincidentally, Sam Darnold. Now, Sam Darnold, we know, like, they just heated him. You know, they warmed him up.
Yeah.
Down there in Detroit, you know, or I guess up there in Detroit. But those performances were eerily similar.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold and Drew Aller.
Just a kind of a sense of panic
there. Yeah. And I want to talk to him about that and how you can combat that when you're in that. Because, you know, he played.
Yes, he did.
So that'll be at 5:30 and in the club tonight, some cool stuff. But right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air.
He really
it's
is.
Time for the hot 5 at 5.
You got to it quicker than usual.
Hot 5 playing out the end of the prime time with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Could be Lamar Jackson and not Josh Allen as MVP.
Well, it's essentially a done deal at this point.
Yeah. So Lamar has been named first-team quarterback on the AFC All-Pro team. Significant because he got 30 first-place votes to Allen's 18, and it's the same group that votes for MVP.
Yeah. I think they said that it's been like 25 years since someone finished above the other one in All-Pro voting and then finished below them in MVP. So Lamar Jackson is about to win his third MVP, which puts him in very, very rarefied company. And most people thought that it was going to go to Josh Allen this year. And the voters said, not so fast.
I think everybody thought it was Josh Allen. just because Lamar had won two.
Yes.
But Lamar will be the first player ever with a Heisman Trophy and three MVPs, although he was already the first player ever with a Heisman Trophy and two MVPs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The announcement will be February 6th.
Once he gets his third, the people with more will be Aaron Rodgers, who has four, and then Big Forehead Guy has five.
Peyton Manning.
Yes. He will join the list of Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Jim Brown, and Johnny Unitas as the others to win three MVPs.
For some reason, the Jets have just wrapped an interview with Maryland coach Mike Locksley.
Yeah,
nice.
He also interviewed for the Dolphins and job in 2022. What is that?
I don't know.
What is the deal with Mike Locksley?
That was a bit confusing and frightening. I mean, he was down at Alabama, and I do think he has NFL roots. I forget, because I think before Alabama, he did come from the NFL, but I don't know. That's very strange. The Jets also interviewed Mike Greenberg for their GM position.
You're kidding.
That's what I said. And then I do a little deeper digging.
Different Mike Greenberg?
Mike Greenberg is the assistant GM down in Tampa Bay.
Oh, thank God. You scared
the living.
But when
I heard Mike Greenberg, I was like, what in the... Because he's a huge Jets fan.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, that has to be... That can't be.
That'd be the most Jets thing ever.
I immediately went to the Google and was like, all right, Google, please talk me off the ledge.
What if they hired Mike Locksley and Mike Greenberg?
It would be the greatest thing.
The sports guy, Mike
Greenberg. Mike and Mike are back.
Yes.
Mike and Mike. Wow. Former Georgia quarterback Carson Beck transfers to Miami. Reports of $4 million to get him. Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what.
Sorry. 24-3 as a starter.
Stop reacting to the game before the rest of us.
Ohio State looks good. That's all I'm going to say.
Carson Beck for $4 million bucks. Hey, guess what, Miami? You can have him. Did you see Carson Beck play?
That's a whole bunch.
$4 million.
Would you rather spend that on other parts of your roster?
Makes no sense to me. And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if Georgia told Carson Beck that you are not guaranteed this job when you come back. Gunnar Stockton, I think they're pretty high on. And if you're Carson Beck, your draft stock went kaput this year. So this is probably the best move for you and try to, you know, revamp your career at Miami.
Also, Syracuse quarterback Kyle McCord turning pro, and as is Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter.
Yeah, I thought McCord, maybe it's just because it's such a weak quarterback class that he thinks that he can go higher than he normally would, because that's a guy I think could put his foot in the cash register. If Carson Beck is worth $4 million, I guarantee he's worth three somewhere. He had a good year at Syracuse.
Wildcard weekend injury tracker. The Eagles are 100% healthy on both sides of the ball now, as quarterback Jalen Hurts and wide receiver A.J. Brown have been cleared. Packers quarterback Jordan Love, good to go in Philly. And the Ravens will not have top wide receiver Zay Flowers.
And I'm telling you, that is a huge deal for them, because
due to a knee injury.
He is really the only vertical threat they have, and that is not the same offense without him. So just something to keep an eye on, whether this week or moving forward, if they can get by it.
So the super hot playoff action begins tomorrow at 1:30 with Houston taking on your Chargers.
And I think collectively we all did the same thing.
The Texans just don't do much for me.
Well, and the Chargers don't either.
I like the Chargers because I like Harbaugh and I like Justin Herbert. But outside of that,
Chargers favored by three. Number one. Tells you what people think of the Texans.
Number one.
Oh. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I feel like we're caught up here. I mean,
I think we are, because it's a replay. But it was the replay of the personal foul.
Yeah, which was really dumb.
You can't have that. Personal foul on Steve Sarkisian, who just ran over and clotheslined Ryan Day. Unbelievable. Can you guys believe that?
Gave him the stone cold stunner.
I love when the dudes wearing Bible verses are punching people in the face.
Yeah, no kidding.
By the way, is it me or is Jesus having a big moment in...
A lot of Jesus.
Big weekend for JC.
A lot of Jesus. Yeah. Yes, number one, Ohio State, Texas. The Cotton Bowl is underway, although it is not being played at the Cotton Bowl. It is in Arlington, and Ohio State has the early 7-0 lead as the first quarter winds down. But a big 15-yard personal foul on, I think was that Judkins?
That was Henderson.
Henderson.
Trevion Henderson.
Just put Ohio State behind the chains there. They are about midfield on Texas.
It's like about 3rd and 28 at this point.
Is that all?
I think that's all. So,
well, the way they've been throwing it, this is probably a 3rd and 3. Because they're throwing it all over. Hey, I was going to look up the stats.
It's only third and 26 at this point. Yeah, so
this is a lock. You want to bet he gets this? I bet he gets this.
Yeah, I'm going to bet that he does not get this.
Okay, here he goes. He drops back. Okay. So he threw a two-yard screen.
It's a little hard.
Didn't get it.
I don't know about you, but when I flip through my playbook, there's not a lot for third and 26.
Let me look up some stats real quick, and then we'll get to the
next
segue.
What do you want? I got them in front of me.
Yeah, how much has Will Howard thrown for already?
It's 8 of 10 for 79 yards.
That's it?
Yes.
Loser.
8 of 10.
It seems like he's got 150 already, but he doesn't.
He does not.
And Ohio State will punt. So Texas has settled in.
Yeah.
We are headed to the second quarter. Buckeye 7, Longhorns zip.
Yes.
Victor Rico's Mexican food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. All right, where's the upset in the NFL? And then we'll get Joey Harrington here next on The Fan. Joey Harrington coming up in 10 minutes. I'm going to ask him what the hell's going on with Drew Aller. He should know.
Is it possible that he's not very good?
Yeah, but I thought that was different last night. I thought that was more of a guy who felt like the moment was too big for him almost.
I think that kind of comes with not being very good.
You know?
We've talked about it.
Well, he's slinging it around against Oregon.
I know. I just feel like at times in college football, and I get why we do it, but I think media, national media, we push narratives and we try to make guys out to be better than they are. And I think we do that a lot with quarterbacks. I think we did it with Quinn Ewers. I think we did it with Drew Aller. I think we do it with especially a lot of young guys that look the part. The big physical kid that's the high recruit. And, you know, we talk him up. And then when he actually gets on campus and we see him play, you know, you just kind of shrug your shoulders. And we fall in love with, oh, he was a four, he was a five-star kid. But
I get all that. But that was the worst performance I've seen from a supposedly decent quarterback in a long time. Like that was a different level of.
It was really bad.
What on earth is going on?
And he had, and to be fair, he had played a lot better this year.
Yes. And like I said, if you watched him against Oregon, he slings it.
Yep.
Any hoosies, that with Joey. Now we've got Chargers, Texans tomorrow, and then we have Steelers, Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are our first. Oh, actually, those are the only two on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we got the Sunday.
So
games.
Probably not an upset in there because I know you don't like the Texans. Steelers aren't going to beat the Ravens.
I think the Texans are absolutely there's a reason why they're at home and they're 3-point dogs to the Chargers, who aren't a great team. The Texans, and it's weird to say because they're in the playoffs, they're one of the most disappointing teams in the NFL this year. For what we thought Houston was going to be with year two of this regime to where they're at, nothing really took a step forward in Houston, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And then, you know, the Ravens without Zay Flowers, you know, if the Steelers hadn't come into this thing on four losses in a row, maybe this would feel a little different. But look at Pittsburgh the last month of the year, 27-13 to the Eagles, 34-17 to the Ravens, 29-10 to the Chiefs. And then in the game that they said that, hey, I know it doesn't mean anything, but we're playing everyone because we need to get the bad taste out of our mouth, 19-17. I mean, that's against Cincinnati. That's the only game that was like even competitive. So it's hard for me to believe that Pittsburgh is going to find a way to get up off the mat against Baltimore, even with no Zay Flowers. Baltimore will not go very far if Zay Flowers is not on the field, but against Pittsburgh and the way they're playing, there shouldn't be an upset.
Yeah. So the Ravens defense since week 13 is first in the NFL in scoring, total defense, pass defense, third down percentage, red zone defense, and opposing passer rating.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the year, this defense was really leaky, and we were like kind of...
Well, in those same categories, okay, so scoring defense, total defense, pass defense. The Ravens, weeks 1 through 10, were ranked 25th, 27th, and 32nd.
Yeah.
Weeks 13 through 18, first.
Yeah, it was a weird, wonky year for Baltimore. And you kind of thought they were peaking. Well, and you hope that they still are, minus the injury, that they're kind of peaking at the right moment.
But they figured it out.
See if Lamar can get the playoff monkey off his back.
Here's another thing about the Ravens. And I think they can win, even without Zay Flowers. Although they're saying there's a decent chance he comes back next week. Scoring margin against playoff teams, your Lions plus 36 this year.
Yes.
That's number two of all the playoff teams. You know who's number one?
Guessing the Ravens.
plus 112.
Yeah. It's
so this is scoring margin against playoff teams. Baltimore plus 112, Detroit plus 36, Philly plus 29, Tampa Bay plus 26, Kansas City plus 4, and Denver plus 3. Everybody else is minus, well, including the Texans, who are minus 66.
The Ravens are kind of the anti Broncos, who the only team that the Broncos have beaten that's in the postseason is Tampa. I don't count the one against the Chiefs, but with the Ravens have big wins, including, remember, they had the big win over Buffalo. I mean, they housed Buffalo 35-10.
Yeah.
So
was that in Baltimore? That wasn't in Buffalo. I think it was.
Yeah, that was in Baltimore.
Yeah.
That was in Baltimore. And they housed them, but
they looked pretty good.
They also took the Broncos to the woodshed. I mean, remember, they absolutely annihilated.
Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers. So, look, when they're cooking, isn't it weird that we don't give the Ravens the same sort of respect? They've got a quarterback that's about ready to win his third MVP, and we just don't talk about him the way that we did Aaron Rodgers and Brady and these sorts
of guys. Because he's got to win one.
Yeah.
He's got to get over the hump, man.
Got to get over.
We got to see it. We can't see that stuff like we saw against Patrick Mahomes last year. That was garbage.
Yeah. They should have won that game, too.
Well, but they didn't.
They didn't.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So then Sunday we get Broncos-Bills, Packers-Eagles, Commies-Bucks.
Those, by the way, there could be some good games mixed in there. And I know that the Bills are favored by 9.5, and Denver's not going to go in there and win. But that wouldn't shock me if that's a little closer. And then Phillies, Packers, and Commanders, Bucks. I think those are going to be great games.
Okay. And then we have Vikings, Rams Monday night.
Yeah.
And they've moved that to Arizona.
And by the way, the Rams are going to beat them.
Oh.
That's my.
Yeah. That's the underdog.
That's my underdog.
That will win.
Yeah. If you got to go underdog and, you know, not that it matters, the whole bulletin board material, but after the Lions beat Minnesota to win the division, you know, Dan Campbell said, "I'll see you in 2 weeks."
Yeah.
Apparently that is plastered everywhere around the Rams locker
room.
So Campbell's screwing over the Vikings, even though they just was trying to be friendly and be like, "Hey, man, I'll see you in a couple weeks."
That's nuts.
I think the Rams are going to beat the Vikings and send a 14-win team. I think they're sending them home.
Isn't it hard to trust the Vikings after what we saw the last time out?
100%.
I mean, I know they had a great year, but
absolutely.
It's just like, after watching him the last time, it's like,
And the thing about the Rams is,
we might as well have Drew Aller back there.
The Rams have been littered with injuries, and, you know, I get it. There's an inconsistency there, but the Rams' best is as good as anyone. And let's not forget that they beat the Buffalo Bills 44-42. When that offense is clicking, the Rams can cause them problems, and I think they will. That's my upset in the wild card round.
All right, let's ask Mr. Quarterback Joey Harrington about quarterbacking coming up next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, we've got an eye on Ohio State, Texas, but it is time for our weekly visit with former Ducks and Lions quarterback Joey Harrington, who is a man of the people, cooking steaks with a rosemary anchovy butter. Seems very fancy, I'm told.
Dun, 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 dun. Does it come from a dangerous crowd? I ain't too pretty, I ain't too proud. I might be laughing a bit too loud, but that never hurt no one. So come on, Virginia, sell me a sign, send me the signal. Are we on?
Hey!
There he is.
Yeah, we're enjoying it.
That was good.
Yeah. Thank you.
How's the,
tell me about the anchovy butter. I don't know if I can get behind the rosemary anchovy butter.
I'm just doing it in olive oil. I just like baste the steak in it.
Well, yeah, but
why can't you get behind it?
Because it's got anchovies in it.
Do you like Caesar salad?
Not with anchovies.
Well, then you don't like Caesar salad, so then you're dumb.
I get Caesar salads without anchovies all the time.
No, there's the sauce. The dressing is
an anchovy
based
sauce.
In anchovy.
Yeah, but I don't really taste it.
Well, exactly. That's the point. Right. No, this isn't fishy. This is literally like like you melt it down into like an oil. Yeah, you're in.
I'm in.
It's just like a Caesar salad, and you put some, you know, rosemary on it,
or doing some
pesto beans, and there you go. Well, you're gonna try it. I thought that was just for me when he comes over by himself next time.
I'll be over there in an hour and a half.
Ooh, sweet.
Now, did you make the anchovy butter from scratch with like a full deal, or was this like a purchased anchovy butter?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, here's what you do is, like, you have, like, a can of anchovies, and then you have rosemary, and then you have, like, olive oil, and then you, like, cut them up, and then you put it in the olive oil.
I'm out again.
Yeah, I think I'd rather just buy some anchovy butter.
I'm out.
Yeah, that's, you guys, seriously, like, come on.
I'm sorry.
Just put a little bit of work in. Make, you know, like, it, you should know, well, Rob, you don't know about hard work, but Sook, you should know about hard work. Like, you put the work in, you get the result out on the backside. Just take an extra 30 seconds, take 30 seconds and cut up some rosemary. Like, just drop an anchovy and some olive oil, and then it just, like, melts. Like,
I just feel like any anchovy butter that makes it to the market, I feel like is going to be better than the anchovy butter that I'm going to make. I do not have faith in myself anchovy butter.
Wrong. That's fake news.
That's just dumb.
That's just dumb. People think that they can't do it. Oh, well, I guess, you know, Nabisco or I'm trying to think of a butter company.
Lando Lakes.
You know, Lando Lakes makes it better than I do. No, they don't. They just put a bunch of crap in there and then it tastes good. So just like make it real. Take like 90 seconds and just cut it up and just put it in some olive oil.
Pretty sure that if I told my gal that I was making anchovy butter, she would just look at me and be like, get out of the way.
Rosemary anchovy butter.
Rosemary anchovy.
What about anchovy bourbon? Bourbon.
That'd be gross. That's just dumb.
Kind of how I feel about your butter.
That is just dumb.
That's just dumb.
All right. Listen, quarterback guy, I got to ask you, with your quarterback eyes, when you watch football games, what on earth does your quarterback eye see last night when watching Drew Aller? What's going on with that guy?
I knew you were coming for this, okay? So, I will say that I was surprised when they played Oregon. After he threw the pick and we went up 28-10, I thought he was done. Yeah, I thought it was like going to be a 72-13 kind of thing. Credit him for playing, like, he played amazing, got him back in the game. They ended up losing, obviously, but he did great. He's getting a lot of grief for the pick at the end of the game. And he played bad, played terrible. However, I've watched that thing like 17 different times, 117 different times. And when you watch it from the sideline, or when you watch it from the tight TV version, it's like, what the hell is he doing? Okay, I would challenge you to find a All-22 where it actually shows how the play developed. And was it a bad play at the wrong time, like a unfortunate thing? Yeah, of course it was. Okay, but you're right. Let's start breaking some football stuff down here. Ready?
Go.
So they're in like an edge set, single back, right? Edge set to the left with the tight end, with, you know, Superman tight end, and they got a slot. They got two receivers to the right side. They run essentially like a flood concept to the left, a corner route over the top, a quick out with Superman tight end, and then that slot on the right side runs like a drag. It's a deep drag route. So they essentially flood that zone on the left-hand side. And it started out looking like a quarters, two safeties, pretty low but even, and then they rolled down that safety over the top of Superman tight end, rolled down to bracket inside and out there. Okay, so they had it covered completely on the left side where he started. Wide receiver comes across, free safety moves with quarterback's eyes and with the flood route going to that side,
And he came back and he threw a ball to an open zone. Okay. Now, I'm going to say this, and I remember sitting in the meeting with Mike Martz when I was with Mike for a couple weeks before I was traded from Detroit. And his point, his absolute, like, number one point of emphasis is it doesn't matter if the wide receiver is open. If the coverage dictates that's where the ball goes, then that's where the ball goes. That coverage dictated that the ball go to the backside square in. Now, if you watch the wide receiver, as he makes his break at the top of the square in, corner is inside leverage. Got him sitting there, like got him walled off. And so what does he do? He converts the square in, and he starts to run a curl. If my wide receiver started to run a deep curl, and I was expecting him to run a square in, I would grab him by the face mask and I would kick him in the shins, because what he's done is he's completely hung me out to dry, which is what I believe happened. Now look, could he have set his feet? Could he have got his eyes over there a touch sooner? Sure. But that coverage dictated that's where the ball went. The wide receiver saw a corner hard inside leverage, and he completely busted his route, which is why it made it look like Aller missed the ball 2 yards inside. He didn't. The right wide receiver went, he went, you know, Picasso and started like drawing stuff on the chalkboard up there. When if he would have just crossed face, if we just run right through the DB, best case scenario, catches the ball. Worst case scenario, gets pass interference.
It's funny. I'm watching it now, and I can't find the all 22. I'm just watching the TV version, so it's tough to see. But mm-hmm. it does appear that the receiver either stops or
mm-hmm. there's yeah, a version at the very end. You can kind of see it from the back, from the end zone cut.
Yeah.
As it just flashes over and the DB dives and makes the pick, where you see the wide receiver essentially coming downhill, and then he adjusts and goes to the side. The wide receiver hung him out. Now, that does not excuse him playing like a turd sandwich for the rest of the game, right? But they were in a position to win that game, and Drew Aller does not single-handedly own that loss.
Yeah, he said he was trying. They asked him about it, of course, after the game, and he said, "I was trying to throw it at his feet."
He was trying to dirt it to where, like, if he doesn't catch it, no one catches it. But he did, and he also got hit as right. he was throwing, and he did not get to set his feet.
And if his wide receiver would have run the square in instead of the deep curl,
it's at his feet.
It would have been at his feet.
Yeah, yeah,
because it was at the Notre Dame guy's feet. He had to go down and make the diving play.
Exactly. And so what happens now in you know, all the rules of all of football have been changed for the benefit of the offense, right? What happens when there's contact down the field? Wide receiver's trying to get to his spot. There's contact with the DB. Ball's in the air. Nine times out of ten, what happens? Yeah. Yellow flag. Hanky on the field. Pass interference. We're moving. Like, that was in my mind, that was a cardinal sin by that wide receiver.
Hmm.
That's the first time I've heard that, and you're right. Like I kind of want to go back now and see if I can find a better view of it, because you're right. When you're watching the broadcast view, all you really see is the ball 2 yards in front of the guy, and the Notre Dame guy makes a great play on it. But with the way you're breaking that down, I'm interested to I'm kind of picking up what you're laying down.
And you can see from the end zone shot, you can see the safety starting a quarter's look. The strong side safety comes down to bracket Superman tight end. Backside safety rolls into a single look, and then floods hard to where his eyes are going, to the flooded side of the formation, and it leaves a massive window back there. Now, you asked the question about Drew Aller, and I had to start there just to protect him. He didn't play well. And it's interesting to see somebody like Drew Aller, who really has been. I remember watching, was it last year, 2 years ago, where he was supposed to be this absolute superstar coming in, the next coming. And for me, it's never quite clicked. Right. And then you look at a guy, and sure, you know, right now he's, you know, he transferred, he's with Ohio State, but you look at a guy like Will Howard, right? Kansas State, you know, working man's program, plays really well, just kind of just chugs along. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, I guess I'm a pretty dang good, pretty dang good quarterback and can win a few ball games. Like, there's a difference. I don't know. And we can debate this in circles. I would almost rather have a guy that's just really steady versus a guy who could potentially be a superstar.
Yeah, that was the whole point we were making earlier. It was like, I wonder if his backup was in, would it actually have been better? Again, you don't have the upside, but you also don't have the mistakes. Let me ask you this as a quarterback. So I'm sitting there watching that going, I didn't really feel like Penn State helped their quarterback much. In other words, they know he's struggling. We can all see him. He's off. I don't know if it's the moment or it's just one of those days. What can a coach or an offensive coordinator do to help a quarterback who is playing like that? Because it didn't seem to me that they did a very good job of that.
That's fair. You know, there are a few things that they can do. You know, calling some quick screens,
right.
Calling some ways to get the ball out of his hands into the hands of the wide receivers quickly. Now, obviously, defense is going to be, if you're not hitting the ball on the field, they're going to be up in your face mask. And Penn State's offense runs through their tight end and their running back, so I mean, it's a different set. I've been in that place where, you know, whether it's against Oregon State my senior year, where, like, you know, I literally go into the Heisman Trophy, you know, ceremony the following week. And that week, I mean, I couldn't hit the blind side of a barn. I mean, I think I threw for like 104 yards in an interception or something. I mean, it was ugly. Or how about this? Okay, here is a quick story time. We're in Buffalo. I'm with the Dolphins. And I think this is the only time, I could be wrong, that I actually had a 0.0 passing rating.
Oh, dear. Yikes.
And, it was foul. Like, it was one of those days, and I'm walking off the field. You know, we'd gone three and out for the, you know, 17th time. And Saban comes over to Jason Garrett, and as I'm walking to the sideline, he looks at Garrett, and he says, "What the hell's wrong with him?" And he looks at me, and he goes, "What the hell's wrong with you? What are you sick? Are you hurt? What the hell is wrong with you?" I was like, I don't know. Like, I just sucked today. Is he just sucked? Like, what the hell is fix him? And he just walks away. And I was like, sometimes you just suck. You could be the best player in the world, and sometimes you just suck.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, let's pause and come back and talk more quarterbacking with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Next on The Fan. All right. We're back with Joey Harrington here. Seggy 2 on a football Friday. We were discussing Drew Aller and just having bad games. Did you ever have a game as a quarterback where you did feel like that? It's not your day. You're not playing well, but you got it together. Or is that a situation where it's like, man, I don't have it today?
When it's not there, it's not there.
I could probably list 5 games in college where I got it together. And I could probably list 11 games in the NFL where I just I couldn't get it together. Like, that's – nobody's going to be – perfect, right? Nobody's like, you see these guys that go out and, you know, put up massive numbers, and that's, those are the games that everybody remembers, right? But the real, like, the great ones are the ones who can take that day where it's like, we're not quite feeling good, or like, oh man, like, this is going sideways, and turn it into something that isn't catastrophic. Right. I mean, there were plenty of games, and part of it was, you know, just a different style of, you know, different generation in college football and a different style of offense. You know, but there were plenty of games where I threw for 173 yards and, you know, a touchdown. right? Where I didn't it just wasn't flowing that day. But I did enough, or I should say I didn't do enough. I didn't make the mistakes, right? It was 173 and a touchdown, but no picks, right? It was not forcing that ball on third and long and instead punting and relying on your defense. Like, there are situations that you learn. And maybe that's what Drew, you know, should have done yesterday, is just, you know, understand the situation. But yeah, I mean, God, there were for every, you know, 300, you know, for every Fiesta Bowl or for every, you know, Arizona State, there were two games, you know, like I played against Fresno, or, you know, like that's just kind of the world that quarterbacks live in. But people don't remember the mediocre games. People remember the big ones. And they remember the catastrophic games. So if you can keep keep a game from becoming catastrophic, then yeah, that's the way to go.
Well, and it's hard to, I'm assuming, for a coach, because, like, I remember Will Howard against Michigan clearly didn't have it, and then Ohio State runs the most conservative offense in the world and doesn't really give them an opportunity to do anything, and it comes back and bites you in the ass. Penn State does this quite a bit when Aller doesn't have it going, and again, they get pretty conservative. And I go back to that 3rd-and-2 call. Yeah, not at the end of the game when they're going in to potentially win it, it's 3rd-and-2. Notre Dame has 9 guys in the box, and they basically just it's a quarterback run because they don't have faith in Aller to put the ball in the air or get him to a better spot. So I'm assuming that's kind of a tricky position when you're a coach of, my quarterback doesn't have it, I don't have the utmost faith, but, you know, sometimes you can't just sit there and be so conservative, because that can end up killing you too.
Well, that's the thing that people don't realize is they sit on a couch and watch a game as if it's a black and white decision, you know, as if it's this vacuum where it's like good and bad, you know, it works, it doesn't work. Like, there are so many variables that go into this. Maybe your right tackle's struggling. Maybe your quarterback isn't recognizing the shift in the safeties. You know, is it 2 safeties? Is it 1? Are they shading it until the snap of the ball? And he can't tell whether it should be in a run or a pass, right? Like, maybe the running back isn't picking up the fourth guy off the weak side, and so you don't trust that you can push the ball down the field. You know, it's like there are so many variables where, whether it's reporters or whether it's, you know, sports talk radio guys on Friday afternoons, you know, who sit in their studio, can say, God, he should have done this. But you truly don't know all of the things that go into it, you know, when it comes to calling plays or making a decision about what you think is best in that situation.
Yeah, it's always tough. That's why I always try to say, I'm not in the huddle. I'm not in the play call. I don't know who's responsible for it. So, because even when you see something, you know, unfold, it can be difficult, because I can look at a line protection and be like, I don't know what they had called there. Or, you know, you look at a safety that gets burned and you're like, well, I'm not exactly sure what that call was. It's like, we all love the backup quarterback, but you're not there in practice. You know, maybe the backup quarterback truly is awful, and the coach is like, there's no way I can put him out there, but we see an offensive struggling, and so we're always calling for the backup because we don't get to see that stuff.
Man, I'm literally watching a sack right now, and you think you hear offensive line, or you hear Will Howard was sacked. What do you immediately think?
Yeah, O-line got beat.
Exactly. I was like, oh man, the left guard just got beat right there. Well, what happened? Safety screwed with Will Howard, thought he was going, you know, into center field, undercut the curl route. He held on to it for another second, took another hitch, and he hitched right into the guy who was wrapping around the left guard. Like, that's not his fault. Like, there are so many variables that go into play calling, that go into, you know, decision making about whether or not a guy should be on the field, shouldn't be. Like you said, like, we're not at practice. Maybe Drew Aller's backup. Sure, maybe he's really conservative and really solid, or maybe he just sucks. Maybe he's not ready. You know, how long did we sit there and say Ty Thompson is going to be the guy? Ty Thompson should get in. We want to see Ty Thompson, right? Well, there's something there that we didn't see every day that the coaches do. So it's We can sit here and say, what should they do? How do you dig yourself out? It's a completely different conversation to have on a Friday afternoon than it is on a, well, I guess they don't play on Saturdays right now. They're playing on a Friday, as I just say that, or a Sunday, right? So when you've got 75,000 people, you got the lights on, you got national television. Like that's a completely different situation.
Can't even imagine what that's like. But yet, as a fan, I sit there and yell at my TV just the same. Come on,
you should have done this. You're so dumb,
idiot. That guy's terrible.
I say this all the time. The worst feeling in the world, and I've been a part of this so many times, is when you're watching film and the coach turns to you and says, what the hell were you doing there? And you watching the film can't come up with an answer because you're watching yourself. You're like, I don't know. I don't want to be doing that either. And you don't have a good answer. That is the most humiliating and humbling and crappy feeling. Oh,
that's literally what I was talking about a second ago as I was walking off the field with Saban. And he looks at me and says, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I don't know. I'm trying not to suck, but I don't have a good answer for you. Like, right now, it's just bad.
Yeah. It'd be like, why? I remember being like, Sug, why did you slide the protection that way? And they're like, there's no one to slide to. And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, what did you see? I saw something. But when you watch the film, you're like, it's not there. It's like, I'm like, I don't know. Sorry.
Why don't you get out of your coach's box and come down here, strap a pot on, and tell me what you see, dummy?
Oh, my God. Good stuff. Good little quarterback chat today.
Yeah.
It's hard being a quarterback.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to sit here and watch Ohio State have a penalty or two. It's hard to sit here and watch them drop a ball. It's hard to sit here and watch them make little mistakes that don't give them a 34-0 lead and think.
They do not.
It's true.
They don't look
the same.
Anything like the one we saw the last 2 weeks. And yes, Texas is a good team, but Ohio State has had the ball 5 times, 1 touchdown, and 4 drives that have all been killed by Ohio State penalties.
Yeah. That's dumb.
Do you have a rooting interest? Are you rooting for Texas?
No. No, God no.
Rooting for Ohio State.
One, I don't like Texas. I don't like anything like about this. Like that's just like a general like statement about the state. Two, I would like to see Ohio State win it. Just you know, for the whole they beat Oregon kind of thing.
Yeah. All right.
Someone tweeted, Ohio State's doing a great job of stopping both offenses. And I kind of...
They certainly
that's
are.
That's a great tweet.
Yep. Oh, Quinn Ewers looks terrible. That guy sucks.
Someone said Arch was already warm.
Terrible.
Put in Arch. All right, thank you. Yeah. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your rosemary anchovy butter tonight.
It's rosemary anchovy olive oil.
Oh, olive oil.
Get it straight. Okay.
Got it.
Get it straight.
All right.
I'm going to go back to the kitchen. Bye.
Bye. That's Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX, the future of building. Be here. All right. Coming up next, news of the wienery.
Come again?
That's right.
All right.
The wienery news on the fam.